All right. Thank y'all for participating. I appreciate that. Just feel a little bit more welcoming with the meet and greet. All right. The Lord said you don't need a musician to meet and greet, right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just ask everyone to stand so we go to prayer. Father God, as we gather to worship this morning, Lord, we ask for everyone to have open hearts in your presence, Lord God. Father God, we ask you to fill this place with your spirit. Fill our souls with your peace, Lord God. Father God, we just ask that every song be a praise unto your name, Lord God Jesus. And we ask that every word spoken glorify you and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. While I still got you on your feet, we're going to go right down to the scripture. The scripture today will be Romans 12, 6 through 12. That's Romans 12, 6 through 12. Say amen when you got it. Give you 2 more seconds. Our scripture reads, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is given generously, if God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Verse 9 reads, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight and honor in each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. All right. Right now, you may be seated. I'm sorry. Right now, we'll have a sermonic selection by our YLE.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So we have a bit of a mixed group today.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him food. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his womb. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Great job, y'all. Thank you. Thank you for the Christmas carols. Can we ask everyone to please stand to welcome our pastor, Jonathan Ford.
God bless you. Thank God that we made it through to and through the Christmas holidays. Amen. So I'm hopeful that all of you and your families had a joyous Christmas and are preparing for the new year. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn our attention to the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Yes, that's a good move. That's a good move. If they want to pop some in the back, that would be good too. We're going to turn our attention to the second chapter in the Gospel of St. Matthew. And what we're going to do, I'm going to invite you to be seated. And I'm going to let you carry some of the weight of the sermon this morning by reading through the entire second chapter of Matthew. I'm going to ask you, you can read that silently on your own. We're just going to take a couple minutes here at the outset. Familiar story, nothing new shattering here. But I want you to get reacquainted with the birth of Christ as told by Matthew. So you have it, whether you have your phone. Anyone needs a Bible, feel free to put your hand up. Anyone needing a Bible, we have Bibles available. Turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew and just take the next 2 or 3 minutes, just read all of chapter 2. Now, I'm going to focus in on just a handful of verses, but I want you to have the entirety of the chapter as your context, because I'm not going to preach the whole chapter. But if you know the whole book, I know what he's talking about. Okay? So with that, go ahead and just read through, have a Bible, whether you have it on your phone, whether you have it on your tablet, just go ahead and read all of Matthew chapter 2. Won't take you long. It's not that many verses. Now, hopefully you're wrapping up and you're getting through Matthew chapter 2. And again, very familiar passages relative to the Advent season, to the birth of Christ. Now, I am curious, before getting into the message, how many of you, this was the first time you read your Bible all week? That's not a good thing. Some of y'all were looking like this was the first time you read your Bible all week. But thank God for Sunday, right? If I didn't read any other day, at least I go to church, and I'm going to be reading out of my own Bible for the sermon. So, good. You have that, the backdrop. I'm just going to focus in. You see, they got it up on the big screen. I'm focusing in on verses 13 to 15. And then I'm going to focus in on 19 to 23. Okay? So that's what I'm going to focus in on. You've read everything else, so you have what we call context. You know what was happening before. You know what was happening after. And I'm just going to jump in. I'm just going to cherry pick a few verses. And in so doing, I am continuing the sermon series that I've entitled Listening to the Angels at Christmas. Okay, we're in the same vein, same sermon series, Advent season, birth of Christ. We're still going down the road. Okay, we're just going to add to it, right? It says, beginning in verse 13, it says, now, when they had departed, and you know who that they are, because you read it, referring to the wise men, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Amen? Now I'm just going to drop down to verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take your young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. Being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. For the next 10, 15 minutes, I want to talk from the subject, don't stay there. Okay? Don't stay there. Right? Last Sunday we talked about not giving in to fear, resisting the temptation to give in to fear. This Sunday, I want to talk about resisting the temptation to stay where you are, right? Whatever you do, going into the new year, make up your mind, don't stay there. Okay? You guys with me on that? Okay, just a few verses. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have. And that is to gather in the house of God. And to gather with the people of God. Those who are of like precious faith. And above all, to gather around the word of God. We thank you for your word because your word gives light to our pathways. It illuminates for us the way that we ought to take and the pathway we ought to follow. And so as we open our ears and our eyes, we make our heart available. Lord Jesus, show us the pathway of life. You said in your word that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except by and through you. Show us the way that leads to salvation and to eternal life. It is to that end that we sit and wait patiently for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Christ's name for his sake. Amen. By a show of hands, how many folks got what they wanted for Christmas? By a show of hands, you got what you wanted. You jotted a few things down on your Instagram account. You put it out on Face. Then folks actually came through. You actually got some things that you wanted. I say that because looking at this story, looking at this passage, I would imagine that Joseph would respond by saying, I got everything I wanted for Christmas. Now, that comes on the heels of him not getting anything he wanted prior to that. Prior to that, he was thinking, hey, I found me a wife. I've read in the book of the law that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I was able to save up over these past years to have a suitable dowry for her family, take a large chunk out of my savings. I've done that. I'm glad to do it. I got a new house here that we can start our family. I don't have to live in my dad's house. She doesn't have to live in her parents' house. We can have our own house. And we can get our life going and start getting down the road with our lives, right? And as his heart is set on that, planning on that, looking forward to that, only to come home one day and to have his wife tell him some incredible news, right? So you got the backdrop on that, right? Right? Joseph's got to deal with that, right? And so now that's a problem, right? He's got to figure out. We talked last Sunday, being a righteous man, the scripture said he made up his mind what he was going to do. He said, hey, this is too much for me, right? Maybe someone else can handle it. Maybe someone else could do it. Joseph said, I can't, right? Then the Bible tells us that he had made up his mind. He was going to put her away privately. He was just going to say, hey, thanks, no thanks. I got, you know, you go your way, I go mine. You know, it didn't work out, right? Right? But the angel came to him, right? And helped change his mind. And so that's the backdrop of what he's dealing with, right? Now the pregnancy has reached full term. She's given birth. And I'm sure he's probably wondering, man, how is the rest of this going to work out? But while he's trying to figure that out, the Bible tells us here in Matthew, and you've read it, that wise men came. Not to see Joseph, not to see Mary, but they came to see the baby Jesus, right? And the witness tells us, and you read it, verse 11, when they came in the house, they saw the young child, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then it says they opened their treasures and they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right? And what I want to highlight about these gifts is that all of these gifts were gifts that were traditionally or often given to someone of royal stature. These were gifts fitting for a king. That's when the king has a son. When a king has a baby and throws a big party and invites those of the court and those of high, when they come, these are the gifts they bring to the king's son, right? The future heir, the future ruler. And so prophetically, without saying a word, the wise man brings gifts fitting for a king, right? These gifts were not only fitting for a king, these gifts were a blessing to Joseph, right? I told you, he's just giving out all he had, dowry, but now he receives gold, right? Right? Trying to figure out what's going on, and now he receives frankincense and myrrh, right? Items that his wife could use in their family, items that could also be sold, right? And so Joseph goes from being in an unfamiliar place, unfamiliar ground, uncertainty, to now getting everything he could have hoped for Christmas. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right? So it may not have been the way he had planned it or thought about it, but it does look like things are turning around, right? He said, I'm not in my hometown. I have to come all the way out into this part of the country. Why? Because they're doing a census. We get here late in the middle of the night, right? I can't find a hotel, nothing on hotel.com, nothing on Expedia. And so I have to stay in a stable, right? But now that I got gold, frankincense, and myrrh, get back on hotel.com. Bring up, check Expedia again, because now we got some reach. We can upgrade our living. Why? Because we have been given gifts fitting for a king. Are you with me? Things are looking up now for Joseph and Mary. Now, verse 13 said, now the wise men leave, and it says, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph. Listen to what the angel says to Joseph. The angel says, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You got to be kidding me. Things are just turning around. We can move out of the stable into a hotel. Now we're at the Jerusalem 6. Upgraded suite, continental breakfast, right? Things are turning around. And you're going to tell me, now the angel wants to come and say, Joseph, you got to get on the move. Get yourself, get your family, get out of Dodge, because Herod is trying to destroy the baby Jesus. Let's take a look at what the angel says. So he says here, flee to Egypt. Now, that the reaction y'all just gave me right now is appropriate for you guys. Because for you guys, Egypt don't mean anything. I could have said anything, but because it don't mean it. Egypt doesn't resonate with you. Why? You're not Hebrew. You're not Jewish. Your history is not tattered with an ill-fated past tied to the land in Egypt. For this crowd, this Sunday morning crowd, right? Had I said, let's go back to Africa hundreds of years ago, you guys might have sat up a little bit. Whoa, nice. Huh? What you talking about that? Years and years ago. Matter of fact, it was right after I got out of school, as a matter of fact. I had the opportunity to go to West Africa. And I toured the coast from Senegal all the way down to Abidjan. And one of the things in the region of Senegal, and I put it in my notes to find out the name, and I didn't get it, but one of you might know it. In the region of Senegal, there was a port by the ocean. And that port was important for two main reasons. One, it was a military port. It had high banks from which those who controlled the region sat cannons and could therefore shoot out at the ships and sink them in the port. So it was a very secure port, good for military use, which then also made it good for commerce. In addition to that, it was the leading slave port in Western Africa. So I have the chance to go there, and I had a chance to tour the barracks. They're still there, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years, they're still there. You get in the tour guide, African descent. He would tell us the history. These are the barracks where hundreds of thousands of Africans last saw their home country. They were sold into slavery, go on the ship. They would never come home again. Off to America. Of which a large majority never saw, died at sea. Right? So he's telling us the history. Much of it, you know, I knew, you know, just didn't have the detail, but I knew the history. You know, we sold in slaves, came to America, the slave trade, 1640. I knew the story. So after he tells the story, he says, okay, you guys follow me. And he walks us through the barracks. He brings us to a room no larger than this right here. He said in this room, on any given day, there would be 300 to 400 slaves in this room. I'm not saying the second floor. Literally this size, no windows. They had for windows slits. Be like this. This is your window. They had maybe two or three of them. And he would say they would, on average, 300 to 400 Africans would be piled in here. And they would have to wait. Then he said, I want you to look off to the side. On the side of it, there was a trench had been made on the perimeter of this room. He said, that's your bathroom. 300 to 400 Africans. This is your bathroom. And you're waiting in darkness. No lights. Like I said, all you had was a slit. And as we were there, then he would say, the only time you came out is when they brought you out to auction you off. Boats would come in to the harbor, right, from other countries. And they would come to purchase slaves. And at a particular time, if you didn't go out through the front and go in the light, you would go through a tunnel still in darkness. And then when they got you down to the coast, you come up and you go right up on the auction block. Shackles on your neck, arms, feet. Sold. Then you went from there to the ship. And you never came home again. That's history. That's not Bible. That's history. That's real deal stuff. This stuff has happened, right? And as I say this, like I said, many of you may not have had that experience like I have, but you know the story. By the time we walk through the tunnel and come out, he's just telling the story. Everybody, there were black people in the group, white people, Muslim, I mean all types of people. Every last one of us was crying. And he's just telling the story. Real history. But as he told it, we could feel it because we were in the very place. It was like a horror house. And granted, it was a tourist attraction. They tried to, you know, they clean it up, whatever. But they left it the way it was is the way it was. And folks couldn't control themselves. Because that place meant something to everybody there. Are you with me? So now let me tell you what the angel says to Joseph. The angel says to Joseph, flee to Egypt. You've got to be kidding me. Of all the places that you could send a Jewish family, why in the world would you choose Egypt? For a Jew, like I said to you, I ain't say nothing. Y'all still asleep. But when Joseph heard it, Joseph woke up. He said, oh my God. Of all the places to go, Egypt for the Hebrews represented slavery. Represented hardship, and they rehearsed it every Passover. Why are we doing this? To remember the suffering and hardship of the Israelite people. The Bible tells us they were in Egypt for 430 years. The first 30s were good years. Why? Because there was a Pharaoh that knew and remembered Joseph. But the Bible says when that Pharaoh died, there arose a Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. Didn't know Joseph. Didn't know his friends. Didn't know his family. And then for the next 400 years, they suffered in hard bondage. And now, the angel of the Lord tells Joseph, go to Egypt. Lord, why are you sending me there? Right? Egypt, a hard place, full of bad memories for Hebrew people. So then not only does he send them to Egypt, then he says this. He says, stay there. Be one thing if I just had to go and I was passing through. Right? It's one thing if I had to go and we just had to stay there for the weekend. He sends me back to Egypt and gives me no return date. Go to Egypt. Hard place. Bad memories. And I want you to stay there until I bring you word. Are you with me? Now, this is what I want you to get out of that. But he did say, I'm bringing you word. So I don't know when I'm leaving, but I do know that I'm what? Eventually, I'm going to what? Eventually, I'm going to leave. Eventually, I'm going to get out of Egypt. Are you with me? If you guys were really with me, you would realize the pastor's preaching right now. Listen, the angel says, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, "Arise, go to Egypt. God is sending you to Egypt." Are you with me? Let me say it this way. God is sending you, ordering you, commanding you to go into a hard place. A hard situation, not a place of blessing, not a place of joy, not a place where people bring you gifts, sending you to Egypt. Now, when you get there, I will tell you this, I'm sending you there, right? Here's the, if you get this, you got the whole sermon. He says, I'm sending you there, but you won't have to stay there. It's only what? Temporary. Look at somebody and tell them it's not permanent. Now, if you can explain to me why the entire church is not up shouting, rejoicing, and giving God the praise, I'd give you a shout out. Because if I was you sitting in that seat and I heard that message that the angel sends you into Egypt, but tells you, you do not have to stay here. You got to go there, and you are going to have to endure it for a season or two, but you will not have to stay there. How you guys are not excited, the Lord be with you. Now, if that didn't get you, if you don't shout on this, I'm leaving. I'm going to shout, and I'm just going to get in my car. I'm going home. Listen to what he said. He said, because Herod wants to destroy the child. Verse 14 said he arose, got his family together, goes to Egypt. So here's the question this Sunday. How many of you would obey the Lord when he tells you to go to Egypt? We'd be hard pressed. I know I would. Speak for myself. Lord, things are just turning around in my life. You just brought me into a season of breakthrough. People I don't even know just brought me get. Now I'm blessed. I've got gold. I've got frankincense. I've got myrrh. I can take care of my family, right? I can upgrade my hoopty, right? Why? Because I got some reef. And now you're going to send me to a place where I don't know anybody. And all I know of that place is horrible memories. But the Bible said, the angel said to Joseph in the dream, go to Egypt. Stay there. It's not going to be a quick trip. Hunker down. You're going to go through something. Why? Because it's Egypt. I'm not sending you to Jerusalem. I'm sending, and so you're going to have to go through some stuff, and you're going to have to be patient until I send word. Then God does something which he often does not do. He told Joseph why. God does not often tell you why. This is what he said. He said it like this. The prophet picked it up and said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He said, neither are your ways. What he was trying to tell him, I don't have to explain myself. And as a result, he often does, watch this, I'm going to prove it. Can I get a witness? Okay. Half the church is awake. That's something. I preached to that half. But on this occasion, the angel tells Joseph why. Up front, in the beginning, because Herod is out to destroy the child. He said, Joseph, he's not trying to kill you. He said he's trying to kill me. That's what he was at. Herod was trying to kill God. You got the text. The text said what? They called his name what? Emmanuel. Meaning what? God. Look at somebody and just tell them, it's not about you. It's about your God. That's who Satan is after. Satan and his angels are in a war with God. In an attempt to win that war, they seek to destroy. Are you guys with me? Are you getting anything out of this sermon? Flee to Egypt, a hard place. Stay there until I bring word. It's temporary. Look at somebody, tell them it's not permanent. Herod wants to destroy the tribe. God knows that someone or something is out to get you. Look at somebody, tell them, thank God for God. I couldn't see Herod. I didn't know Herod was after us. But God did. Look at somebody and tell them, thank God for God. That he can see things that I cannot see. Right? 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 Look at somebody and tell them, thank God for God. Because God saw what Herod was doing. He released or dispatched an angel to come down and meet Joseph and arouse him in his sleep and say, look, Joe, you got to get up quick, go to Egypt, stay there till I give you word, because Herod is trying to destroy the child. Here it is. I got it italicized. I got it stand out in my notes. This is the whole sermon. You get this, you got the whole sermon. Right? Egypt. Hard place. Hard memories. I got to go there. Now I have to stay there indefinitely. Not stay there until the end of the month. Not stay there until the 15th. I got to go there. No return date. Right? So you get this is the whole sermon. And I'm not even going to fool around. I'm just going to give it to you. So Egypt is transformed from a hard place to a hiding place. If you guys didn't get that, I would have turned in my resignation papers tomorrow. I'd be like, I'm stepping down. I'm not the pastor of that church. No. I'm going back out on the market. I'm putting my stuff out. I need a new church. You don't understand how good what I just gave you. You got a little bit. He transformed what is to Joseph and Mary a hard place. A place full of bad memories. A place full of bad time. What was to them a hard place? When you put it in God's plan, when you put it in God's strategy, when you release it to the unlimited, the omnipotent wisdom of God, is transformed from a hard place into a hiding place. Do I got a real church this Sunday? Look at somebody and say, I'm in a hiding place. This is how the psalmist said it. Psalm 20 says, he said it like this: for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Yes, in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. Now I asked the question to start the sermon: how many of you got everything you wanted for Christmas? And there was a smattering of hands. I can tell you one thing, it wasn't everybody. So I'm left to assume that those that didn't get all that they wanted for Christmas said, Pastor, I would have raised my hand, but this Christmas, I'm in a hard place. And I see all of you guys got your Eagles jersey on, your Eagles gear on. Pastor, don't laugh at me, but I don't have Eagles gear. Why? Because I'm in a hard place. And I looked at y'all last Sunday. Everybody giving gifts, giving cards, and making memories. Not only did I not give any gifts, but I didn't give any gifts either, Pastor. Why? Because I'm living in a hard place. 24 may have been good for you, but it wasn't for me and my family. Things didn't go the way we had planned. Instead of being up and getting down the road, I've been knocked back, sent to a place that I don't want to be in, sent to live in a condition that I don't want to live in. Pastor, I'm in a hard place. I don't know who you are, but this sermon's for you. Because the angel tells Joseph, yeah, you got to go back to a hard place. But if you stay there and be patient, he says, God is going to transform your hard place and turn it into a hiding place. Look at somebody and say, hide me, Jesus. Hide me, Jesus. I'm living in a hard place. I'm not proud of it. I'm not excited to tell anybody. But if you hide me, touch three people and tell them, I'm hiding. That's why I look the way I look. I'm hiding. The Lord has hidden me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hide me, Jesus. Woo! That's what I need. I need the Lord to hide. That's what I need. I need the Lord to cover me. That's what I want in my time of trouble. I want the Lord. I want the Lord. So my hard place becomes a hiding place. It is better for me for this season to be in Egypt so the real threat don't kill me. Joseph could have ignored. He could have refused to listen to that angel. No, not now. I'm in a good place. Things are turning around. Things are starting to look up. And he could have chosen to ignore the angel. Would you? That's the real message. I've been telling you all month long, you got to listen to what the angel says. And every Sunday you've been dancing and spinning around and moonwalking because the angel has been saying what good stuff to you. But not this Sunday. This Sunday tells me to go to Egypt. Tell me I got to be there a while. The icing on the cake. Someone's out to kill my family and me. And I just add that my family and I. Now the Bible tells us he was out to kill the child, the baby Jesus. But if you know anything about royal succession, the way an incoming king secures his kingdom and his legacy, he kills everybody with any connection to the prior king. Wipe them all out. Not just boys, everybody. They got to go. Because I don't want anybody to be able to come and lay claim to what is now mine. So Joseph's no dummy. When he said they're coming in for the child, Joseph knew what that meant. They're going to kill the child and anyone connected to him. So that there's no future dispute of who the real king is. Are you with me? Okay, let's get out of it. Let's get down the road. I done gave you the better part of the sermon. And this is just, here we are. 19. Here it is. It says, now, when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Right? Matthew says, now, that Herod was dead. This is the joy of the hiding place. Because in the hiding place, God covers you until the danger passes. The text says now, once Herod died, guess what? Here comes the angel again. Right? Get this. This is a demonstration of God's timing. Not Joseph's timing. Not Mary's timing. Not their family. When y'all coming back? Why don't y'all come home for this Thanksgiving? You don't have to cook. Just come back. They didn't even know it, but they were, why don't you come back so Herod can kill you? That's what they were saying. They didn't know it. Why don't y'all bring, we haven't seen Jesus. Y'all keep inviting us. Y'all won't see Jesus. Herod's going to kill him. But the timing of God, he covers me. Until the danger passes. Why is that important? So you don't lose heart while you're in a hard place. A lot of times we get frustrated with God because we don't see the end of God's plan. So our prayer is always, Lord, why do I have to go through this? Now, as your pastor, I'm telling you, you don't know why, because you're not able to see the end of God's strategy. You don't know that Herod is out to kill you. You don't know who Herod has hired. You don't know what Herod is planning. You don't know what Herod's going to do to you. But God does. And all God says to you is wait. I know it's a hard place. I know it's loaded with bad memories. I know what your family went through back then. I understand it. I get it. But God said this hard place, what was once a hard place for you then, now in my strategy is a hiding place. It's a hiding place because Herod knew no good Jewish person, Hebrew person in their right mind would ever go to Egypt. Herod figured if it was between me and Egypt, they're going to stay here and let me kill them. Versus go back to that. But the timing of God. This is what Ecclesiastes 3 says: to everything there is a season, a time and purpose for everything under the heaven. Right? So help me preach the message. You got to tell them good. There is a season to be lived out in Egypt. I told you a couple of Sundays ago, everyone's got a butt. And not only does everyone have a butt, everyone has a season in Egypt. It cannot be avoided. Watch this. Not if you want to inherit the things God has for you. Right? So it can be aborted. You can default on it. You can tell God, I don't want it. You can do that. But if you want to receive the blessings of the Lord, you must spend a season in Egypt. Why? Because for everything under the sun, God said there's a season. There's a season for it. There's a season when you're going to be in Egypt. Then there's going to be a season when folks come and bring you gifts. Right? And here's the secret of it all. You got to learn to be cool in every season. You got to learn to praise God. Right? Right? When the wise men bring you gifts, you got to learn to praise the Lord. Thank you for that. That's when I, Lord, thank you for that. And you got to learn when you're in Egypt and they're trying to kill you, you still got to have joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that they didn't kill me. Thank you that they don't know where I'm at. Thank you that they don't know where my son's in daycare. Thank you for hiding me. Because all I got to do is hang out for a season. That's all I got to do. I can make it for a season. There's a saying that says he may not come when you want him. But he's right on time. Look at somebody and tell him he's right on time. Here it is, I'm finished. Here it is, 20. So the angel comes, rise, take the young child, his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. The angel speaks to Joseph a second time. Now, if you're in a hard place, I want you to listen to me. The angel will speak a second time. I really wish I had a better church. And maybe your reaction is because you're not in a hard place right now. So you're absolutely satisfied with what he's already said. Said, this is working for me. But for those of us this Christmas find ourselves in a hard place, This is God's message for you in your house. He's going to speak a second time. Now, the first time didn't work out so well for you because it sent you into a hard place. The first time he spoke didn't really bless you because you were in a hard place and you had to stay there for a season, right? The first time he spoke didn't really bless you. Why? Because it told you that someone was out to destroy you. But thanks be unto God that the angel spoke a second time. Here it is. I'm finished. We got to get out of here. He said, here it is. Rise, young child, mother. Go to Israel. Trials of life is it. Here it is. He says, arise. The child and his mother. Just take a note. He said, it's time. Now, those of us who are of a certain age, those of us who are from a certain locale, primarily Philly, that phrase means something to us uniquely, being born and raised in the same city as the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. Right? DJ Jazzy Jeff made his claim to fame by spinning on two turntables, and he would mix a single phrase off of these records. He would just say, it's time. Then he'd grab it on this record. It's time. And that's the whole party would just take off. When Jeff came up and did it's time, see, some of y'all are too young. Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Some of y'all are too old. Pastor, are you still in the Word? Some of y'all just not from Philly, so you just don't know. But for those of us who do know, Jeff would come to the party, and he'd get on the road and say, it's time, it's time. Oh, man, the party would go nuts. I mean nuts. Right? And I said all that to tell you, God, the angel's going to speak a second time. And when he speaks, he's going to tell you it's time. Right? Now, I used Jeff to help me preach, but that didn't go over too well in my church because not too many people know Jeff. So now I'm going to ask you as fellow preachers and prophets, right? Just find somebody, find three people. That's how you get the word across. And just tell them it's time. Come on, help me preach. Come on, use your good preaching voice. Now I'm finished, sermon's over. Help me preach it out. Just look at them and tell them it's time. Yeah. Come on, help me preach. Say it's time. You've been in Egypt long enough, and it's time. You've been living under house arrest long enough. It's time. It's time. God says it's time to get. God help me. God help me. God help me. Get this. Here's the sermon. When he spoke the first time, he sent him to Egypt, a hard place, a bad place, full of bad memories, bad family history. But check out the word of God. When he speaks the second time, look at what he said. He said, get your family because it's time. And he said, now, look what the text says. I want you to go to the land of Israel. Now, you guys been in church long enough. You should know that the land of Israel was often referred to in the Old Testament as the promised land. The angel said, get your family. It's time. This is where I want you to go, to the land of Israel. He said, I want you to go now that you've endured the hard place. Now that you've proven obedience and faithfulness. Now that you've proven I can trust you with gifts fit for a king. Now I'm going to bring you into your promised land. That's what the land of Israel is. All it's the promised land. Exodus 3 and 8. He says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up, listen, out of that land unto a good land, a large land, a land flowing with both milk and honey. Now look, if you don't get your shout on, that's on you. But look at what the text says, Exodus 3 and 8. You got the witness. God said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up and out of that land and to bring them into a better land, a good land, a large land, one that is flowing with milk and honey. When the angel spoke the first time, he sent Joseph, Mary, and Jesus into hiding. But when he spoke the second time, he told Joseph, it's time. Whatever you do, don't stay there. Egypt is not your home. Egypt is not your promise. Get up. Get up. Get up. Don't stay there. This is not all. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Touch three people. Tell them, don't you stay there. Tell them. You better not stay there. God has something bigger, better for you, your family, your sons, your daughters. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Yes, Lord. Oh my God, I got to get out of here. This was only temporary. This is not all God has for me. No, I got it. Oh my God. Well, don't you stay there. I dare you to pray. If you believe that God has something better for you, I dare you to give the Lord a praise. Well, let me go. Let me go. You can stay here if you want to. But the angel told me, whatever I do, don't stay here. I dare you to pray. Come on, tell.
Come on, I need everybody. Come on, everybody. Everybody. The Bible said, let everything that has breath give the Lord a praise. I dare you to pray. I dare you this Sunday. I dare you, before the new year gets here, tell the devil, I'm not staying here. No, 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 no. God's got... Woo! No. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm out of here. I know I'm in a hard place. I know I'm in a hard situation. But trouble don't last always. The ain't. Church, listen to me. Egypt is not your destiny. It is simply a temporary hiding place. That's all it is. So if you can just remain faithful during this season, and I know it's a hard place. I know it's a difficult place. I know it's loaded with bad. I know. I get it. I get it. Why? Because I told the church what? Everybody has what? A season in a hard place. No way to avoid it. But if you could just hang in there and trust the wisdom of God. Here it is. You know this, Jeremiah 29 and 11. I wrote it down because I wanted to say it right. This is God's words to you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is what it says. I put it in my notes. I wanted to get it right. 29. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Look what it says. He says, thoughts of peace. Everybody look at me. The violence in and against your family ends now. That's from the angel. I'm going to say it again. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. This is what he says. Thoughts of peace. Right? Claim your victory. Here it is. Claim your victory. The acts, the thoughts of violence against you and your family ends today. You got the word of God on it. You don't have to believe your pastor. Believe God. This is God. God said, I have thoughts of peace. It ends today. Look, it's going to end today. And look, you don't have to do nothing. You ain't got to tell them about the sermon. You ain't got to tell them what went on. No. You don't have to. This, matter of fact, this he told you what you do. This is what he said. He said, hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. You got to get, I had you read the whole chapter. Joseph never retaliated against Herod. You read the whole chapter. You didn't read anywhere in the chapter that before he left, he sent a text to Herod. You don't read it. When he left the same way he came in, with his mouth closed. Because he made up his mind that I'm going to trust God. And if God says that he has thought of peace towards me, that means every act of violence, God said, I'm bringing it now under my hand. It ends today. 2024 is the last year it ends. I'm not going to have to do nothing next year. Because this is what he said. He said, I'm going to fight your battle. And he says, while I'm on the front lines fighting, he said, I'm going to send you to Egypt and I'm going to fight. They're going to want to attack you. They're going to want to say stuff. They're going to want, but they won't be able to find you. Because I got you down in Egypt. They're looking for you in West Philly, down parts of North, up in the up on the boulevard. You ain't there anymore. I got you in Egypt. Right? Here it is, thoughts of peace. I'm finished with it. Not of evil. Stop believing that God wants to curse you. Are you listening? So many people are blaming God for the ills of their life. You don't get anything else out of what I said today. Get this and go home. Stop blaming God. God is doing more behind the scenes to protect you than you even realize. Do him a favor. And instead of blaming him, why not come to church one Sunday and bless him? This is what the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, even when I'm in Egypt. Why? Because I know he has thoughts of peace. I know he doesn't want to do me evil. And to give you and expected end. You know what an expected end means? A prepared end. While you're in Egypt, God's fighting your enemies. God's going to kill Herod, not you. Let God do it. Look at somebody and say, let God do it. Stop arguing with your sister-in-law. Let God do it. Christmas would be so much better if y'all could just stop arguing and fighting. And all I'm telling you next year, don't add nothing to it. Let God do it. Let God do it. He has an expected end, a prepared end. God is fighting your enemies, your battles, and at the same time, preparing a place for you. Jesus says this to his disciples. He said, I go to prepare a place. What is Jesus doing now? Preparing a place for them. Everything I want, everything I need, he's preparing a place. And I want you to understand this, because a lot of times we get that and we understand it to be heaven. And that is a correct analogy. That is correct. But there's also a place he's preparing for you here on this earth while you live and breathe. So that you don't have to live and die in Egypt. But you can come into the promised land of God in your lifetime. The only thing you have to do, wait for the angel, speak a second time. And then when he speaks, Make up your mind not to stay there. And I'm going to say something to you. Some of these people look at that and say, what? Of course, if I got out of Egypt, I would go. You would be surprised how many people get used to trouble. Get used to it. Comes normal. The fact that a guy got killed in West Philly last night, man, y'all hear it and you keep on going to the bathroom. I'm used to it. I'm used to hit and run. I'm used to it. I'm more surprised when there's not a hit and run and somebody died. Come normalize. You get used to trouble. You get used to living in Egypt. That's where I grew up. Pastor, that's all I know is bickering and arguing with me. I don't know anything else. And you get used to it. I didn't say you had to like it. I just said you get used to it. And anytime you get used to something, it becomes hard to change. That's why abused women stay in abusive relationships. They get used to it. I don't know anything else. I don't know another way for a man to treat me. I saw my dad treat my mom. This is the way Hank treats me. I'm used to it. No one ever told me that God has thoughts of peace. Physical peace, inner peace, spiritual peace, financial peace. No one ever preached that to me. I never went to that kind of church. All I know is the angel sent me to Egypt. Pastor, this is where I was born at. I was raised here. I told somebody where the church was. Where the church at? I said, let's take it first in the old state. They said, oh yeah, we're moved out of there. That's right. That's right. I told them, it's not the same place though. I said, we're there because we're making a difference. We're changing the storyline. We're not just there saying, hey, that's the way it is. We expect the cops to abuse us here. We expect the cops to lie on us here. We expect the bombs to be dropped on our neighborhoods. For our kids to have poor schools and poor education, we expect it now. And that's what I'm saying. That's why the message is don't stay there. Don't stay with that mind story. Even if your physical locale doesn't change, make sure your mind changes. And above all, make sure your spirit changes. Egypt is not only a place, Egypt is a condition. Egypt in the Bible represents sin. Like I said, I know why I preach this message. Because so many of us are living in hard places. And I know you got your eagle jersey on and you look cute and you're going to have some wings and you're going to buy a hoagie from Wawa. I get it. That's all right. That's cool. God bless you. But underneath all of that, some of us, if not all of us, are living in hard places. We're living in hard places. We're enduring hard times. For some of us, we're living with hard people. Anybody ever live with someone that's hard to get along with? You're in Egypt. That's all it is. And that's why I came to preach this message this Sunday. Because God wanted me to tell you, Egypt is not your destiny. You are not meant to die in Egypt. God's got a promised land for you. And he sent me as your pastor to preach this message into your heart, into your ears, into your soul, so that you can realize, I don't have to stay here. Not another year. Not another day. Not another week has to go, but God's going to deliver me right now. I feel glory in Him. I feel the move of God happening now. This message is for you. Just raise your hands in the air. Just give the Lord praise right where you are. Just tell the Lord, I receive it. Oh my God, I receive it. Pastor, that I receive it. Lord, I receive it. Lord, I receive it. I receive it. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. I receive it. Holy Ghost, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Holy Ghost, I receive it. Holy Ghost, thank you for sending an angel a second time. The early part of my life, the angel spoke and I never heard it. Never went to church. Never read my Bible. But thanks be to God. This Sunday, I heard the angel speak a second. He gave me a second chance. Could have gave up on me. Could have left me in Egypt. He said, no, no. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I'm going to send an angel a second time. I'm going to have that angel stir him up until God delivers them. I'm going to ask my ministers and deacons to come down to the altar. As they come, if you're here this Sunday, because I want to seal this thing with agreement. All along here, ministers and deacons, all along here. The Bible says you got to learn to touch and agree. If you're here this Sunday and you find yourself in Egypt, if you're here this Sunday and you're living in a hard place, I invite you, come on. Come on down. Come on down. Receive what the Lord has for you. Come on, tell him. Say, no, that message for me, Pastor. I refuse to go into 2025 living in the same place. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. The Lord is calling you. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come to the water. Come to the water. Come. I'm coming. Here I come, Lord. Here I come. Here I come, Lord. Here I come. Here I come. Here I come. Here I come. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my father, not my sister. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one in Egypt. I'm the one that's stuck. I got to get out. 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 You're here this Sunday. Come receive what the Lord has for you. By an act of faith, come to the altar now. It was by an act of faith that Joseph arose and took his family. By an act of faith that you two today will take a step towards God. Egypt is not your destiny. Yeah. I just needed someone to pray with me. I just needed someone to pray for me. I just wanted somebody to have faith where I didn't have faith. Someone to believe that God could do it, even when I don't believe God can do it. I gotta get out. I gotta get out. I can't live and die in Egypt. It's not my destiny. That's not God's plan for my life. Whatever you do, don't give in to fear. Don't let the devil scare you. You better not get up. You better not go up there. You know, if you go up there, you know what they're going to think. If you go up there, you know what they're going to say. The angel told you last Sunday, don't give in to fear. Egypt is not your destiny. I know the plans I have for you to bless you, to give you peace, to bring you to an expected end. God's going to bless you. Receive it. It's my message. It's not about the eagles today. It's about Egypt. God has sent you an angel. Tell you it's time to get out of there. Leave that stuff alone. Leave that past behind you. I got a prepared future for you. I got good stuff in store for you. If you as a father know how to give good gifts to your son, how much more does God, whatever. I got an expected end for you. I got stuff prepared, laid up, laid away. It's got your name on it. All you got to do is come up out of Egypt. It's for me. Get your family. Get your children. God said it's time. It's time. You don't have to dwell in Egypt any longer. It's time. It's time for you. Oh, thank God. I'm so glad I came to church this Sunday. I don't know what to do. Glad to know Egypt's not my destiny. It's not my home. Today I realize God has something better for me. Better for my family. Better for my neighborhood. Don't you realize that because of you, God blesses your neighborhood? Simply because you live there. If I had time, I'd show you in the Word of God. Whatever you do, don't stay there. Don't let 25 end the way 24 did. No, devil. You had your shot, devil. I gave you a whole year. A whole year. I didn't go to church. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't sit and concentrate. I gave you a whole year, devil. But now it's too late. The angel has spoken to me a second time. Receive. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. That's how you receive it. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit, I would no wise forsake. That's how you receive from God. Not proud, not arrogant, but broken, contrite, humble in your spirit. That's how you receive from the hand of the Lord. Ikalabosha. Receive. Receive. What God has for you, for you. Nobody else gonna get it. It's got your name on it. All you gotta do is receive. I made up my mind. I'm going to get all that God has for me. Tell your family, we're not going to die in Egypt. I know many people did die in Egypt. I know there was a lot of people who had a chance to get out and they chose not to. But as for me and my house, we coming out. Lord Jesus, we coming out. As for me and my house, no, I refuse to live and die in a hard place. Not when I know God has more for me, better for me. A good land, a large land, flowing with milk and honey. Why would I die in Egypt? God bless you, Josh. I'm going to take you to Chick-fil-A next year. God bless you, Taylor. I'm so glad I came to church this Sunday. I don't know what I would do. I'm so glad. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Don't you know on a day like today, Eagles game, playoff potential, despite Colorado losing last night, we could have been anywhere else. All right, I thought I had more Prime fans there, but I guess not. Whatever. They lost, so I guess it's not. They done jumped ship. You could have gone anywhere. Could have been any place. Tailgating, celebrating. And still living in Egypt. But God sent you here to set you free. I'm going to go to this old church over in West Philly where the MOVE bombing took place. Just on the chance that God would speak to me a second time. And I'm telling you, the Lord has. So as we stand on the cusp of a new year, new month, I want you to go into it with that message in your heart and in your mind. God said it's time. Time. God said, I'm getting ready to bless you. Get yourself together. Get your house together. Get your family together. God's going to do something new and amazing in the coming year. Do you believe that? God bless you. Thank you, Taylor, your attention and your eagerness to hear and receive the word of God. Today has been outstanding. And as such, may the Lord bless you to receive all that you hope and pray in Jesus' name. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen, amen. Did anybody receive from that word today? Amen. Thank you, Lord. We do not have to stay in that place, Lord. We thank you, Pastor. We thank you, God, for that word on today. Amen. Now we're going to transition. We're going to transition into our offering and our announcements, and we're going to have Deaconess Helena come and give us those.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TaylorTabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And Venmo at Taylor/Tabernacle-6309. For those who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo, Cash App $PastorJonathanFord, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Watch night service will be December 31st at 10:30 p.m. January 5th will be our normal service. January 12th will be communion service and fellowship dinner. Pastor Ford is asking all men to prepare a dish or two for our fellowship dinner this year. Saturday, 1/18, January 18th at 10 a.m., Pastor Ford is asking all members to join him at Faith and Love Worship Center for the conclusion of their Fresh Fire Revival. The address to church is Faith and Love Worship Center, and it's at 8032 Thorne Avenue, Philadelphia, PA 19150, where Bishop Harry Pendleton is the senior pastor. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 through 9:30 a.m. via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Remember, Pastor Ford's YLE Challenge. That concludes our announcements for this Sunday.
Amen. Please govern yourselves accordingly. Pastor? All right. Now we'll have our benediction.
Shall we all stand? I just want to add my voice. Well, let's do it this way. Everybody sit down. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. I'm going to ask Melissa Lee to stand. Melissa, would you stand up? So, men, I want everybody. Men, we are providing dinner on January 12th. And I want you today. There she is. Some of you say, well, I don't have her number. Here, right there. Melissa Lee. go to her today and say, hey, this is where I'm bringing my mac and cheese. Bringing my collard greens. Pastor, nobody does ribs like me. Bring them. We'll put it to the test. We'll try it by fire. Today, before you leave, let Melissa know, hey, Melissa, this is what I'm bringing. She's trying to put together the menu. In order to do that successfully, she needs, well, what are you bringing? What are you bringing? What are you bringing? What are you cooking? And again, it's just a normal pan size. You ain't got to feed the whole church. You can bring one dish, two dishes, just put it in a pan. We'll put, you know how we do upstairs. We're going to have church and then we're going to sit down and we're going to fellowship together. Okay? And men, we're not only bringing food. This is our first step in our commitment to what? Taking care of our bodies in the coming year. Right? Because God is getting ready to use us. And we need to be healthy and strong, able-bodied and clear-minded. So it starts a new season of healthiness for us. Eating right. Working out. Exercising. Reading our Bible more. Praying more. Being more present and active in the church so that our sons can see us and our daughters can see us. I'm calling all men. You would do me that kindness. Melissa's there. Thank you, Melissa. Just let her know what you're bringing. That'll be a blessing. God bless you. And then lastly, remember, this went Tuesday night. We're out for watch night service. We're going to bring the new year in the house of God. No other place but in the house of God. Amen? Okay, let's stand. Let's get out of here while you're standing. I'm going to invite my wife to come up here with me. I got you into the new year. My wife's going to get you out of the new year. God bless so many of you here. God bless you. So many of our college students home. God bless you. Good seeing you. I'm going to ask my wife to give us the benediction. After she gives the benediction, I'm just going to ask everybody, before you leave, make sure you love and hug on everybody. If you need mask, I got masks. The mask in the back, I got masks in my office. I want you to love and hug on every, but don't leave, don't let anyone go home without your act of kindness. God bless you. Shall we look to heaven, Father, in the name of Jesus? Oh my God, we thank you for speaking to us a second time. Thank you for causing us to realize that Egypt is not our destiny. But you've prepared a place for us. Lord, in the coming year, give me the faith, the courage, the tenacity to receive all that God has for me. Because what God has for me, it is for me. So help me to lay hold to the promises of God, that I may see your goodness, not only in my lifetime, but in the lifetime of my children and my children's children. This is my hope. This is my prayer. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And all of God, people say amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Taylor.